First Thessalonians chapter 2. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 is where we'll start. The Bible says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostle of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time. Father, I ask that it would be fruitful. We ask the Holy Spirit would take the word of God into our hearts as only he can. I pray, Lord, you give us understanding of the scriptures this morning. Lord, give us wisdom on how to apply the word of God to our life. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the children in junior church. I pray, Father, you would continue to minister to their hearts, taking what they learned in Sunday school, Lord, and just taking what they'll learn in junior church and having those two lessons come together in their hearts to have the word of God sown in their hearts to bring much fruit in their life. Father, we ask that you would please magnify yourself this morning in our hearts, our minds, and in our lives, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us about living the gospel life. Living the gospel life, because living the gospel life means living in the victory that Jesus Christ has given us. He's given us the victory that he bought at Calvary for us. He paid for the sin debt. He purchased us with his own blood. We have been redeemed. We've been set free. We have the liberty to follow the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life and to trust him fully and completely. And we're going to even look at having joy this morning in some verses, but just thinking about living the gospel life. Now, when you hear about the gospel, you think the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which that is what it entails. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the victory that every single person can have. And obviously the life that we build, or the foundation we build our life upon, Jesus Christ. But as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning, as Paul writes his letter to the church there at Thessalonica, another group of believers that God used Paul to take the gospel to, and God loves them, and Paul is endeared to them. They love him back, and he always writes these letters of encouragement to the churches that he has seen established in his missionary journeys, not just a building, but it's people, it's lives that he got to interact with, lives he got to see the power of Christ change, lives that he would see time and time again just being built upon Jesus Christ and him being able to encourage them. And as he writes here, he kind of mentions the church at Philippi to these people. In verse number 2, he says, "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Now, as he writes this letter to Thessalonica, he mentions this place of Philippi, and you remember Philippi was a place where God struck up the bass note with Paul and Silas when they were singing in jail that night. And God is the one that encouraged them. Their focus was on God, and that is what our focus is to be on in our life, is Jesus Christ. And living the gospel life is living in the victory that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Now, when he mentions Philippi, he says, but even after that ye had suffered before and were shamefully entreated. All right? They suffered at Philippi. They were mistreated. But yet they found joy in the Lord. I want you to look at Acts chapter 16, if you would. Keep a finger here in 1 Thessalonians. We go back to Acts chapter 16. Because the focus this morning is the joy of the Lord. And often the joy of the Lord is found in the midst of a trial. We saw that in Sunday school. And just how God does everything he does on purpose. There's nothing that God does for a second thought. He doesn't, oh, let me do this, oh, let me do that. Everything that God does, he's already put it in motion. Sorry. It's already been planned. There's a purpose for it. And God deliberately sent those disciples we looked at this morning into the storm. And God deliberately allowed Paul and Silas to be in jail. We know a Philippian jailer, he comes to know Christ as his Savior, along with everybody in his house that believed. But the most important thing I want us to think about this morning is joy was found in a dark hour. In Acts chapter 16, you look at, oh, let's see here. Look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Two things that Paul and Silas did that you already know, and that's they prayed and they praised. They prayed to God and they praised God. That is what brings joy in all situations. Our focus being on Jesus Christ. They found joy in the Lord in the midst of a trial. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, I'll even tell you this morning, as I came to church and as I left church this morning to go back home and to get ready, I prayed on the way over. I prayed on the way home. I sang on the way over. And some of you might be thinking, well, I hope nobody heard him. Because if you've ever heard me try leading singing here, you know it. I hope the windows were rolled up. Yes, they were. But you think about it, I prayed and I praised. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back because, honestly, I was having a difficult time this morning. And I knew that that is exactly what the devil didn't want me to do, was to pray and to praise. The devil never wants you to pray to God, cast your burdens upon him, and then start singing his praises. That's what God wants. God wants us to pray, and God wants us to praise, because that will help us to live the gospel life, which is full of joy, because we have victory in Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 30. Psalm chapter 30. Again, it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody has problems. Everybody has trials. But it matters what we focus on. Because a lot of the problems I face in life, I can't do anything about it. Worrying changes nothing. Fretting over it changes nothing. Getting mad about it changes nothing. Blaming God about it doesn't change it. What does change and will help change whatever it is we may be facing is our attitude towards it. And our attitude should be an attitude of praise and prayer. In Psalm chapter 30, look at verse number 5. Actually, we'll back up verse 1. We'll read down to verse 5. But verse 1. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord. You know what? Back, just look, stop right there at verse number 3. I want you to notice what David is saying here. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about hell. God has kept David from going to hell. Now, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior this morning, God's kept you from going to hell. That's something to rejoice over. Don't let the devil have a heyday in your life. Don't think your life stinks. Don't think that, you know, life isn't worth living or, you know, whatever. Whatever it is that's bothering you, whatever it is the devil's using to plague your life with, remind yourself, I'm not going to hell. That's something to rejoice over. I mean, we could just stop right there and just think about that. Do you understand what hell is? Because we don't think about it. Hell is separation from God. You think about what God is. God is joy. God is peace. God is love. God's my comfort. You think about what God is, hell is the opposite. God is light. There's no light in hell. There's no comfort in hell. There's no getting out of hell. Some people get a pardon from jail. No one gets a pardon from hell. That's something to rejoice over. And notice what David is saying. Because listen, living the gospel life is living in the victory of Jesus Christ. Don't slap Jesus in the face by not following him and trusting him as a believer, as someone who's asked Jesus Christ into your life. Don't slap him in the face by not trusting him and following him and thinking that God owes you something more than salvation. I question people who do not want to follow and do what's right and they claim to be a Christian. I question their salvation. Because listen, I'm not the judge. I don't know who is and who isn't. But the Bible says, Jesus says, you'll know them by their fruits. Yes, we do have our struggles. But listen, where is our joy? Is it in the circumstances or is it in the one who's given us victory? Again, in Psalm chapter 30, David says, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. You have favor with God this morning? You do if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When God looks at you, he sees his son. He sees you robed in his righteousness. He sees his child, whom he loves. He sees the one he's given victory. Don't let the devil lie to you and think you have no victory. Don't listen to the devil. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk in his truth. Walk in his promises. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning because it's a new day. The devil may have had his heyday yesterday in your life, but today's a new day. Walk with God. Let God have your life. Let yourself be filled with the joy of the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. And look at verse number 5. Helicopters are flying low today. Maybe it's the president. All right, Psalm 42, look at verse number 1, and we'll read down to verse number 5. Again, another psalm of David. And I want you to study out the book of Psalms. Study out all the psalms that David wrote, and you'll see where the majority of David's Psalms he writes, he complains, But then he praises God. Reality, truth. What he's facing, but who he has victory through. Because notice in verse number 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. God is not going to let the devil do whatever he wants in your life. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. You have an enemy that wants to sift you like wheat. You have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You have an enemy that wants to devour you. But God says, I will not deliver him unto the will of his enemy. But in the mind of somebody, they believe they've already been delivered over to the enemy because they're believing a lie. And because they're believing a lie, it's affected their heart. And therefore, they can't find where they can trust God. That's why the Bible tells us to hide God's word in our heart, because God's word will guide us and direct us and remind us of the joy of the Lord, remind us of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. The devil is having a heyday in too many of God's people's lives. The Lord will strengthen him, verse number 3, upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. This is David talking to the Lord. All right, first he says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Then in verse 3, David says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal me, for I have sinned against thee. Listen, what is the greatest sin a child of God can commit against God? Unbelief. Doubting God. Doubting his presence. Doubting his victory that he's given. Doubting his peace. Doubting his joy. Doubting that he's there for you. In verse number 5, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Now I will jump over to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Is your God dead or alive? Some people act like he's dead. I'm not saying people in here. I'm just saying people in general act like God's dead. Where is God? I mean, the Pharisees had Jesus Christ walking with them. They said, well, if you're the Son of God, show us a sign. After he had already been healing people. God's already done great and mighty things in your life because he is the one true living God. He is your God. He's my God. And we need to treat him like that, that he is a living God. You know what a living God does? He can see you. He can see what you're thinking. He can see what's in your heart. He can see whether or not you fully trust him or not. He can see what you're struggling with. He can see what is bothering you. And you know what a true living God says? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest unto your soul. A true living God sees you, loves you, thinks highly of you because he has thoughts of peace towards you. He says, my tears, in verse number 3, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. You know why it's good to be in church on Sunday? A lot of people don't like to go to church. I can't tell you how many people have stopped coming to church when I encourage them to come to church. Why is that? Why is it when I encourage a Christian to come to church, they purposely don't come to church? I guess they think they're proving me wrong or something. I don't know. But it's God. It shows our heart. Because you know what? I get encouragement. Guess what would happen if I didn't show up to church? What if I didn't come to church this morning? I'd be miserable. You'd be wondering, where is the pastor? I knew it. You know, you have thoughts and stuff. But you know what? I get encouragement coming to church because I see other people. I see other people that have a relationship with God. I see other people who have the same faith that I have. I see other people who, you know what, they're living life with struggles, whatever those struggles may be. Sometimes we tell each other, sometimes we don't. But we all have a common bond, and that is Jesus Christ. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Go to Psalm 100 real quick. Psalm 100. Don't let the devil steal your joy. He can't steal your salvation, so what's the next best thing he can do? Steal your joy. Steal the joy of your salvation. This is what the devil hates. This is what the devil does not want any child of God to do. What is our focus supposed to be as born-again believers? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is to be the focus, because you know what? When your focus is Jesus Christ and you think about, you know what? He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet. He took me out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. Man, he established my goings. I have a place prepared for me in heaven. My sins have been paid for. I can never lose my salvation. I'm always a child of God because he gave me the power to become the sons of God. And because I am the son of God, the child of God, I am an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have something to rejoice about. Is my bank account low? Is my car on almost broken down? I mean, whatever it is. Yeah, but Psalm 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I have nothing to sing about. And we have a whole list of things. Why? Even if you have a list of 100 things of why I can't rejoice, on another sheet of paper, you should have a list of things you can rejoice over. My sins have been paid for. God loves me. There's a place in heaven prepared for me. I still have blood coursing through my veins. I'm alive. Though the world hate me, yet the creator of the world loves me. That never changes. People change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. I have something to rejoice about. I'm on the winning side. I've read the back of the book. The devil loses, I win. But for some reason in our minds, I say we as just in general people, Christians, some, in their minds have it twisted where the devil wins, we lose. Because they're living in defeat. They're letting the devil have a heyday in their life. They're not walking with God. They think they are, but they're not. Because they're living in defeat. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God? Do you know that this morning, that the Lord, Jehovah, the creator of the universe, the creator of life, is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. If you're being picked on by the devil, and you start praising God, the devil flees. Paul and Silas sang at night, at midnight. They sang praises to God. They prayed. What were they praying? I don't know. But they were praying and singing. What were they singing? I don't know. But apparently it got God's attention. Because God took that shell, that jail, and shook it. Opened up all the doors, had their bands break. They were free. Misery loves company. And some people like misery. I've known of people that just, they thrive in misery. And they want other people to join them. Listen, that's of the devil. God's given us joy. God's given us something to rejoice about. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, because you know what? On that glorious morning, when that trumpet sounds, and we meet the Lord in the air, there's not going to be a single Christian saying, no, wait, I don't want to go yet. No, wait. Are you kidding? You start going up, that's going to be like, yes! You ever been on one of those roller coasters? You throw your hands up and woo, but you're not really going woo. You're going, ah! Right, you're screaming. I remember being on a roller coaster as a little boy. I barely met the height requirement. They put the bar over me. That bar was about that far away from me, not holding me in. My dad was sitting next to me. I remember going all the way up to the top. And then, and it was like my dad had to hold me because I went almost flying out. Now, one day that's going to be fun, flying. What am I saying? We have something to rejoice about. Living the gospel life is living in the victory of Jesus Christ. It's been won for us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. And merciful. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. You and I this morning have something to rejoice about. We have something to rejoice about, and that is that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We're on the winning side. Don't let the devil cause you to suck on lemons to where you think life is sour and there's nothing to rejoice about. If you're saved, yeah, I got baptized one time. No. Well, I said a prayer. No. If you know you're saved, you have something to rejoice over. Don't let the devil think that you don't have any victory. You have victory in Jesus Christ. We have something to rejoice over. COVID or no COVID, restrictions, no restrictions. It don't matter. Nothing changes the gift of salvation. Nothing changes the power of Christ. Nothing changes what's pleasing to God as his children rejoicing, choosing to rejoice because they have something that's far greater than this world can ever give. I want you to look with me at Isaiah chapter 12. Actually, you know what? For time's sake, I'm going to read through these. All right, I want to give you five keys to joy in difficult circumstances. Five keys to joy in difficult circumstances. It may not necessarily have to be difficult. We don't really need to have difficulties to rejoice. All right. But I know the devil's a liar. The Bible tells us let's not be naive of the devil's devices. He wants us to think. He wants young people to think life stinks. He wants young people and older people as well to think there's nothing worth living for. But there is. Life is worth living. Because like I said earlier, without sufferings, there are no victories. Think about Jesus Christ. Did he have to suffer? He suffered on the cross of Calvary for you and me. So that we could have joy. so we could have victory. This morning, I just want us to think about living the gospel life, living in the victory of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, just in a couple weeks, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is not a day to come to church mopey. I'm not saying you're mopey now. I'm just saying that's a day that you don't want to come mopey. Because that's the day we celebrate someone who loved us so much that they were willing to leave the throne of glory, robe himself in flesh, live a perfect life, then be hated, mistreated, beaten beyond recognition, nailed to a cross, spat upon, ridiculed, reviled, all of that, and then say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And then to say, when it's all said and done, it is finished. And then to be laid in that borrowed tomb. I love the fact he just borrowed the tomb. God moved upon the heart of Joseph of Arimathea, who came and took the body of Christ with the help of Nicodemus off the cross, wrapped that body up, put it in his own tomb, not realizing Jesus only needs it for 3 days. And 3 days later, those ladies come grieving, just wanting to come and anoint the body of Christ. Who's going to roll the stone away? Unbeknownst to them, the stone was already rolled away. And they show up, and the stone's rolled away, and they all go to the tomb. It's empty. He's not there. Mary assumes it's the gardener and says, "Where have you taken his body? Show me and I'll take it away." Mary, Mary, Rabboni. You want to talk about some joy on that day? Joy that the Savior was alive, the very one that they saw crucified to a cross. Yet she hears the sweet voice calling her name. Do you hear God's voice calling your name? Does God speak to you? Do you hear his voice? Or have we given so much place to the devil in our life in various ways that we've drowned out the voice of God because it's a soft, still voice? God does not compete with anybody for place in our life. God is who he is. And we have to protect our relationship with God. And I believe one of the ways we can protect our relationship is to choose to trust God. Choose to trust God. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." Choosing to trust God in all areas of our life brings joy because the weight is no longer on our shoulders, it's in the hands of God. As God says through Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It brings joy in our life when we choose to trust God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." The second way that we can keep joy or to have joy is to choose to wait on the Lord. I brought this up, I believe it was in Sunday school, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." God wants us to wait on him. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait on people. We don't like to wait on God because God doesn't work on our timetable. And we know that. That's the thing. We know that God works on his own timetable and we don't like it. God, you need to do what I want when I want it. And we become frustrated with God. We become frustrated with people. We become frustrated with circumstances and situations. And it wears on us. But God says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." God says, "Wait on me, And while you're waiting, I'm going to renew your strength. I'm going to refresh you. I'm going to energize you. I am going to help you. And more than anything, our joy needs to be helped. But we also need to choose to grow in grace. Choosing to grow in grace in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ brings joy because, again, it's all on him. Who likes to be burdened down? Who likes to have the weight of the world upon their shoulders and all the stress that comes with it? None of us do, but God says, give it to me. Because you know what? His hands are big enough to take all of our stresses. His shoulders are big enough to bear all of our burdens. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We need the power of Christ more than anything in our life. And when it's the power of Christ working in our life, man, we have things to rejoice over. It's no longer me trying to do it, it's Christ doing it. It's Christ through me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, choosing the joy. You know, it's a choice. Everything in life is a choice. I hate choices. Because you know what? My choice isn't always available. I went to Meijer's the other day to get some pickles. I like Mount Olive pickles. There were no Mount Olive pickles. In fact, the whole section is just about empty of pickles. Or so my wife likes Mount Olive pickles, and that's why I went in there, because she wanted them. I had to be the bearer of bad news and come out with a different brand. And so far, I'm the only one eating that brand. But anyway, but my choice wasn't there. I went in there to get something. It wasn't there. So what happens when, you know, I don't get what I want? Well, God, you failed me this time again. That's how sometimes we act towards God when we don't get what we want. And God has something better. God always has something better than what we think we want. Yes, Paul wanted that thorn in the flesh to be removed, but Jesus said, no, because you know what's better than me taking that thorn away? My grace in your life, my strength in your weakness. I will replace your weakness with my strength. I'd rather have the strength of the Lord. I'd rather have the peace of Christ in my life. I'd rather have the joy of thy salvation, because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, choosing to rejoice in the Lord. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Do you have God for your help this morning? The God of Jacob. What's so important about Jacob? His name was turned to Israel, changed to Israel. His 12 sons are the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, so, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ. God chose a man by the name of Abraham. God chose a race, a nation, that Jesus Christ would come through. You and I have no idea what our future holds. I have no idea what God wants to do in your life. But often, sometimes, we miss out on what God wants to do because we're not walking with him. We're not rejoicing in him. We're not living the gospel life, in the victory of Christ. We're not letting God have our way with us. Choosing to trust God, choosing to wait on the Lord, choosing to grow in his grace, choosing to joy or rejoice, because happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Is your hope in the Lord this morning? And lastly, choosing to grow. Choosing to grow. James chapter 1, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. Rejoicing in the Lord, living the gospel life, which is victory in Jesus Christ. Your adversary, my adversary, does not want us to live in victory. He wants us to live in defeat, but the truth is we have victory in Jesus Christ. We have many things to rejoice over. I guarantee you, if we all took a sheet of paper and just started listing things to rejoice about, just starting with salvation, you'd have something. The next thing would come to your mind. And then the next, and the next, and the next. And before you realize it, you've got a whole sheet of things written down to rejoice over. Our focus has to go back to, you know what? I am saved by the grace of God. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. I have something to rejoice over. My life, it's on Jesus Christ, the solid foundation.